Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. I'm your host for the time being, Walker Wildman. Dr. Ray Pritchard from Kansas City is joining us. Ray, welcome back to the last segment.
Thanks, Walker.
Yeah, so we are, my father, Tim Wildman, as you know, if you listened to the show yesterday, he had a car accident mid last week on the 23rd, the night of May 23rd. So anyways, he's recovering. He's out of the hospital. He's doing a lot better. Went to dinner with him last night. And so he'll be back in the near future. I don't want to give you a date and be wrong, but he'll be back in the near future, maybe a couple of days or a week. And but in the meantime, it's Ray and I, and Ed should be back. Ed was a little under the weather. We've had a lot of I guess you could say, trials going on here at AFA, illnesses, etc. So Ed should be back back tomorrow. So in the meantime, you got I'm Team B, but Ray is A Team. Because Ray's originally a host.
I've been around here so long, right?
Yeah, man, Ray, I was thinking yesterday after we got off the show, I don't know what got me on this. Maybe, oh, I heard Marvin Sanders' name on
right.
Exploring the Word because right. Pastor Burt was mentioning how Marvin and Alex McFarland hosted Exploring the Word before Burt came on staff here. And how long have you been helping my dad and co-hosting Today's Issues?
I started back in 2008, so it's been a decade now.
Wow.
That I have been, and back in the day, it was your dad and it was Marvin, and then I would come in a couple of days a week, and the three of us would do the program.
Yeah, and Ray, you used to live in Tupelo, I remember.
That's
and,
right.
And did you pastor here?
I didn't. You know, we have a ministry, Keep Believing Ministries, which keeps us on the road. So we're going to be gone for the next four or five Sundays from here in Kansas City, just speaking in different places. But Tupelo was a great place to be, and then that's how I had met your dad earlier, but really got to be part of the whole AFA family from living in Tupelo, one of America's great cities.
Yeah, I remember that. I was middle and then high school, early high school when you were here. Working with my dad on the radio, so good to still have you here. We have Steve Jordahl in studio with us. Steve, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Walker, and I got to say this show has been in really good hands, so B-team or not, you're doing a good job. And Frank,
Steve.
I did not know that you were part of the A-team, Ray. Do you know Mr. T?
You know, I love that show. I've got it's completely irrelevant, but the ringtone on my phone is the A Team.
Oh, there you go.
That's right. It just cheers me up every time I hear it.
That's funny. And I do know what y'all are talking about.
Oh, there you go.
Because if my dad was here, he would say, yeah, this is before your time, Walker.
But, and it was.
Yeah.
It was long before.
Anyways, yesterday we wrapped up the show at the last minute. You pitched a news story, and then we had to let it go from there.
Yeah.
Catch our listeners up to date on what's going on in the UK.
I wanted to pay off on the promise we made. So this gentleman in England, whose name is Tommy Robinson, he is an activist, a free speech activist. He was out in front of the courthouse in Leeds, England. And he was reporting, kind of a citizen reporter, kind of like the undercover video people, except he's not really undercover. He was reporting live on a trial where several Muslim men were being tried for child abuse, child rape, actually. And the police came out and arrested him. And in the space of the next few hours, a judge tried, convicted, and sentenced him to 13 months in jail and issued a gag order demanding a total news blackout on the case in the British news media.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, he was already on a suspended sentence for a previous contempt of about the same thing, reporting not favorably on the Muslim problem that they're having in England.
Yeah.
But that seems to me to be a little bit of a clamping down on the press.
Right. Let me ask this. I haven't studied this as much as you have. I've just read the headlines and a few paragraphs. But other than speaking out against, was it Islam?
Yes.
And illegal immigration, et cetera, was he doing anything like disturbing people or rioting or tearing things up?
There was no rioting. And at the time, he was... he might have been speaking a little louder than a conversation you and I are having.
Yeah, but for the most part, he's out protesting.
And he was doing a Facebook Live video
right
at the time, right?
Right.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's, folks, this is, Ray, this, I know folks say, well, that'll never happen in America, and I hope it doesn't, but it just shows that Europe, people say we're not too far behind Europe, maybe 10 or 20 years, but Europe is clamping down on anyone who dares to raise any kind of concern about Islam.
Well, obviously the British legal system, different than ours. We have one concept of freedom of the press. The shocking thing to me, Steve, is that not only, you know, to take the guy from doing the Facebook Live video and what, 5 hours later, he's back in the slammer for 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad enough. Shocking. But then explain, what's the theory behind the idea that they can put the judge can say to the British press, you can't even talk about this?
Well, they have the same possibility. A judge can do the same thing on this side of the pond. If the judge feels that the press coverage would somehow taint the trial, in other words, it would incite the public to be so much against them that they couldn't get a fair trial, you can do the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe that the judge thought that this trial of these Muslims, by putting out there the press reporting on it and reporting on the arrest, it might incite some people to have some opinions, mm-hmm, about the Muslim population and that trial.
Yeah, you know, I read a story about this today, and it was saying that he may be murdered in jail by some of the Muslim by some of the men in jail because they don't like what he did.
He's in a hard place. It's called Hull Prison, and it has housed such inmates as Charles Bronson spent some time there. I don't know what for, but
Charles Bronson?
Yeah, that's what it says.
All right.
He was it's a hardcore place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hardcore place.
It's not a safe place for him to be,
right?
That's for sure.
When you arrive, you receive either a smoker's pack or a sweet pack. If you don't have any money, you need to make the smoker's pack last for 2 weeks. Tobacco is currency in the jail, along with drugs and mobile phones. So it's kind of like the max security prisons here. It's this is not country club prison.
It's a rough place, and in my opinion, his life's being put in danger unnecessarily because of this. So anyways, hopefully.
This might be where the Muslim men, if they're convicted of this child rape, end up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, interesting story there. We'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be developments in the next few weeks or months. Hopefully justice will come out there and he'll be exonerated.
Yeah.
What's the next news story you got?
Well, hey, Roseanne didn't last long.
Oh, man.
This is an interesting one.
The ABC actually leading comedy, the number one comedy, was canceled abruptly yesterday when Roseanne tweeted out a racist, improper, bad taste tweet. Immediately it took off. They took it off the air. And Roseanne has been making excuses about why she tweeted it was Ambien. The best comment I saw, though, because immediately ABC not only canceled the show, but this was a tweet that was kind of making racial comments about Valerie Jarrett, former advisor to President Trump or President Obama. And so the ABC immediately called her and said, this doesn't comport with our values. And so President Trump, about an hour ago, tweeted this out. Bob Iger of ABC called Valerie Jarrett to let her know that ABC does not tolerate comments like those made by Roseanne Barr. Gee, he never called the president, Donald J. Trump, to apologize for the horrible statements made and said about me on ABC. Maybe I just didn't get the call.
Ray, the tweet by Roseanne Barr.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Right. That's so far beyond the pale.
Mm-hmm.
That she is mentally disturbed, troubled. I don't know what I'm not making a medical diagnosis here, but she is mentally troubled. And, you know, some people say, well, she's a conservative. Don't throw her in with the people. Don't throw her in with us.
Yeah.
Because she is out there. And to lack such impulse control that you type out that tweet and then hit the publish button. Mm-hmm. She should never have done it. And yeah. Somebody said, look, the easiest way to make money in Hollywood is by being on a successful sitcom.
Yeah.
How bad do you have to be to blow that opportunity? Well, really pretty bad to tweet something as dumb as what she said.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And as you said, the tweet was totally inappropriate. And so whether she should have been fired or not, or the show should have been canceled, that's up to ABC.
Are they hypocrites? Yeah, they're hypocrites everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I mean, there are things that some of the Hollywood elites say about President Trump and you know, that – or even just say about conservative or Christian Americans that I think there should be some kind of repercussions there.
Sure.
But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
This was an inappropriate tweet on Valerie Jarrett, and the interesting thing is, she Roseanne later went to Twitter, which is it's one of those things. Just put the phone up. You know,
yeah.
You've already said something. You've got your show
walk
canceled.
Away.
Yeah,
stop
just
digging.
Yeah, just be quiet.
Just walk
issue
away.
An apology and stop tweeting. But she went on to blame Ambien, I think.
Yeah,
the
it was
medicine,
Ambien, the sleeping drug.
Yeah, but I was telling the guys, Ray, during the break. I don't think you heard this, but I told them, I said, that does not make it any better.
No,
I mean
no.
You're actually admitting that you're taking too much Ambien, which is
That's
another
right.
problem.
You're completely out of control.
Yeah,
and I don't think Ambien instills racism.
It does not do that.
What that means is when you are not impaired, you are a racist who has enough sense to not say racist things.
Right.
But when you get impaired with Ambien in this case, the wall goes down and the things that are inside the heart come out.
Right, right. Anyway,
there's a biblical thing in that, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyways, let's move on to the next news story.
I'd like to introduce you to a fine young woman named Lillian Green. Lillian is a social justice warrior in Portland, Oregon, and she has all the right credentials. She's an activist. She is in support of the LGBTETC crowd.
That's a mouthful there.
Yeah. And she takes care where she shops, and she was walking down her neighborhood where she grew up in Portland and saw this place that she hadn't seen before. It was a dessert place. And so she sees the sign about inclusivity and everything, and so she decides she's going to walk in. She walks in. She stands in line behind two other women, or as she said, two other people who identify as women. and then she's informed by the staff, two ladies behind the counter, that, oh, we're sorry, but the store closed 6 minutes ago. The open sign was turned off, and they couldn't lock the door because there were still people in the store. But we're sorry. The restaurant is closed. We can't serve you. She turns around and walks outside and immediately starts tweeting this tirade about being discriminated against, about a company that claims to be inclusive and all this kind of stuff, and she's going to make a big deal about it. She gave them some unsolicited advice. She said she lectured them on wokeness, if you know what that term means, Ray. She said, I don't want to hear your cries of pity and your apologies or anything. She said, if you have anybody in that store that doesn't represent those values you say you believe in, they should be gone. Mm-hmm. Well, a normal owner would probably say, well, we were closed. They have to draw a line somewhere. They have people coming in all night.
Right. That's the answer, right? That is the answer.
The owner of this establishment called Back to Eden in Portland, when I think I must have 6-7 pages of apology.
Wow. They must have just started making up stuff.
Well, it was everything from, he starts off, this has certainly been the most heartbreaking and educational 24 hours in the history of our small company. He says, at base level, Lillian, a proud black woman who has roots in the Alberta neighborhood, has seen it systematically gentrified, and talks about the trials of her. And it goes over the minute by minute what happened,
that
at 9:06 she walked in. He says, what happened to Lillian is wrong, and we're sorry for that. What Lillian experienced in our shop Thursday night is just the tip of the iceberg in regards to the discrimination that black women encounter on a daily basis across the city, state, and country. He said, we employ 40 people, including my husband and myself. That'll tell you something right there.
Ray, this is the only thing about this, my thoughts on this, and I think we talked about this some last week with the NAACP director over, I believe, in North Carolina,
yeah,
who falsely accused a cop of racism, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Ray, America has had civil rights problems, and they have had racism problems.
Sure.
And that doesn't, and they're probably, I mean, there are still people in America who are racist, just like there are still people in America who, you know, are prejudiced, blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, America has healed and moved on from the 1960s and before. But bringing up false accusations are things that aren't so, that seems to set us back. Because when someone is really discriminated against, then it's almost the boy who cried wolf.
Well, when you have bogus issues like this, and folks, this is a bogus issue. You have workers who refuse service because it was past closing time, right? That's a to make this into a racial, ethnic, sexual, any other kind of issue is bogus. And the real problem with, you know, Steve, this long thing that you're reading just a little tiny bit of, it deflects attention from the very real problems. There are real problems that remain in American society, and yet something like this devalues those other legitimate issues.
It does. There's something called intersectionality now on the left, which means that everybody who has an issue or a cause, whether it be racial or gender or sexual, you know, that kind of thing, they all are required to advocate for each other, and whoever is the most aggrieved at the moment takes the lead, and the rest fall in line behind.
You know, Steve, this backfires just like the Starbucks thing we talked about yesterday, I think, with Fred. This backfires in the long run because now everybody that complains about anything is going to suddenly get accommodated to. We're going to change the policy of the company, and I think eventually these business owners are going to start realizing that maybe we overreacted for something that wasn't really a problem.
Well, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but the two girls behind the counter were fired.
Wow.
They got fired?
They fired the girls. And this is what he wrote about that. It doesn't really matter that the two staff members working are not themselves racist because the call they made to deny Lillian service caused her to feel like she had been discriminated against. Sometimes impact outweighs intent. And when that happens, people need to be held accountable. So this is, by all accounts, a very progressive, intersectional, all those left-leaning words. The owners themselves are part of the gay community in Portland and want to be as left as they possibly can. It's a gluten-free place. It's the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But the left will eventually always eat itself up.
Yeah, they're all inclusive unless you follow company policy and then you're fired. And that's
feelings trump intent. So even though the two workers were doing nothing but following the rules they had been told to follow, they lost their job, even though they themselves were not being racist at all.
No,
feel bad for them.
This is what it reminds me of, Ray. It reminds me of the saying that when sometimes, like when you see somebody fake an allegation against a police officer and the body cam video shows that the police officer was not guilty. I have heard, well, it might not have happened in this case, but certainly somewhere it did happen. So calling attention to it, we need to address the problem and make it an issue.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. Yeah. It didn't happen in this case, you know, but there are racists out there.
The one analogy I think of, and that works if you think one of your axles or your rims or, you know, a car part is going out, so let's just be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just replace all these car parts just to take extra precautions. But when you're talking about people's lives, their reputation on the line, their jobs, we can't just be shooting in the dark here. That's why, thankfully, we have a justice system.
You think it's going to be on these workers, the record that they were fired and they were fired in this situation for doing what they had been told to do.
Right. Yeah.
That's unfair to them.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your one more two more news stories?
If we could do something from this is from the Snowflake file. I think. I'm sorry. You know what? I just totally threw a curveball to Brent, our producer.
No,
I did not give
right.
him enough time. This is from the Snowflake file.
Hey, Snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
My apologies to the hardworking Brent Creeley. The National Association, we're getting ready for the finals at the NBA.
Yes, I watched LeBron James the other night.
Yeah. Well, after LeBron James won and after Steph Curry won out west and all of the members of those, the NBA gives them the swag, the T-shirts and hats that come with the championship. And in some cases it says world champion, but in this case it says 2018 NBA Finals. And the hats said 2018 NBA Finals. And for the Warriors, I have a picture I'll show Walker, and he can put it up on our Facebook page. For the Warriors, they had a Warriors logo kind of down in the right-hand corner. And for the Cavs, it had a Cavalier emblem. But the emblems covered up a little bit of the lower part of the B in NBA. And if you cover up the lower part of the capital letter B, it kind of looks like an R. And everybody's up in arms because now it looks like it's the 2018 NRA Finals.
Oh, my goodness.
Which
I
would
like
be
that
a shootout
there.
Of epic proportions.
I like the pun there. They're up in arms.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah,
oh, so are they going to, like, reprint?
They
go
are.
All PC like the Starbucks and everybody? You know, why don't they just cancel the finals?
They should.
Why don't they just cancel the finals and go to sensitivity training?
Actually, New Era, who does the caps, did not immediately return a comment, but it's a good bet. That
is so ridiculous.
These hats are going to be worth a lot of money now. You
right,
could probably
right.
sell
yeah.
one on eBay.
On eBay, right. Make a ton.
Yeah. Boy, Ray, it seems like you can't do anything without offending
even
someone.
Caps for the NBA Finals. Oh,
right. It yeah, so go look. I think the NRA Finals start next week or later, probably this weekend sometime. It's going to be for the fourth or fifth year in a row. It's going to be Golden State and against Cleveland.
Yeah.
Fourth year in a row, Golden State, Cleveland.
Wow.
Golden State has two of those championships. Cleveland
Who are you
has
picking?
One. I grew up in the Bay Area.
Right.
And even though I know the political leaning of the team is not my political leaning.
Hey, let's
I kind
keep
of,
politics and sports separate.
I'm a Warrior fan, and Steph Curry has expressed some sentiments of faith that I like as well. And I remember celebrating the Warriors championship in the 70s. They played the Portland Trailblazers to get into the finals. I think it was the 76ers.
I'm not sure. Y'all might know this, but this was – maybe 8 or – how old is LeBron James, would y'all say? 30s?
Yeah, it's probably mid-30s.
Yeah, so he would have been – what I'm getting at is – I'm not sure if y'all knew this or not, but LeBron James played wide receiver in high school and I believe some of college.
Really?
I know high school for sure.
Can you imagine?
But he was a 6'8" wide receiver, Ray, and he was –
It's a nobody would dare to tackle him.
And he
nobody
could have easily to gone to the NFL and played wide receiver.
Good grief.
But
do you think he would have been as outstanding a wide receiver as he is a basketball player?
No, you can't.
He
top
made the right
he's
choice.
Done.
He
yeah.
made the right choice.
He is outstanding.
Sir,
I watched him.
Ray, you've seen them both, LeBron or Jordan?
Jordan.
I think
yeah,
so
I'm not sure who's going to pass Jordan, but LeBron is on up there.
Yeah,
and so well,
he
was,
is.
So
he
was
is.
Kobe
I mean,
Bryant.
He's in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks, you've been listening to today's issues, this Wednesday edition. We'll be back tomorrow on Thursday with more news, more information, and more of a biblical worldview. We'll see you then.